Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, as we preview Iceland as they make their journey to Russia for the 2018 World Cup. Joining us tonight for the show is our very, very special guest and great friend, Mr. Jim Hart, writer, partner, podcaster for These Football Times. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Jim, I want to jump into it with you quickly because I know you live out in the Great West here in the United States, but many don't know your relationship to Icelandic football. So I'd like you to tell the listeners your ties to Icelandic football.
Oh, sure. I've traveled to Iceland a number of times to meet with the federation and get to know some of the people there. I know the technical director, Arnar Bill Gunnarsson, and a few of the coaches, and the guy who coached the under-17 squad, and just a bunch of people that I got to know over the years, and I really got a good feel for Iceland and how how they train, how they coach, how they bring their guys up, and it's been a really great relationship and education. As soon as Iceland qualified for the World Cup, Arnar Bill gave me a nice interview. We posted it in These Football Times. in fact, I exchanged emails with Arnar Bill yesterday. I was asking him a few questions, and he's like, "No, I'm not going to tell you anything. We haven't made the team selection, so shut up." So, I'm trying to find out who's going to be on the squad. So he wasn't going to tell me, but there's still some holes I think to fill, deep in the squad right now. But they've had some interesting players here in the spring, in the March timeframe. So we can talk about that a little bit if you like. But so I think I've got a good relationship with them, and I love Iceland. And they play great football, man. For a small country, they kick asses.
And for a really small country, going back to, I guess, this amazing achievement, the population of the country is only 350,000, which, Joe, I believe is probably the same population as the state of Connecticut, isn't it?
350, it's very, no, there's actually, the population of Connecticut is actually bigger. I think overall, okay. Connecticut's almost 3 million.
All right, sorry about that. I must be thinking of something else. But still, a remarkable achievement. We fell in love, I guess, with Iceland in that Euro 2016 tournament 2 years ago, where they displaced England in the round of 16 and gave a really good game against France in the quarterfinals before bowing out. But really, the entire world just fell in love with Iceland, be it the Viking claps or anything like that. To go into a World Cup is absolutely an amazing achievement for any team. Them and Panama are the only teams to make their debut in this World Cup. So, Jim, I mean, this is a remarkable achievement for a country that, for any country in the world to make it to the World Cup for the first time. It's incredible. But what do you think has been the reaction so far, I guess, from the people that in Iceland or anything of that? How do they feel of being at a World Cup, especially given their performances at Euro 2016?
They feel like they belong. They feel like they earned it. it's not a fluke. They don't think it's a fluke. And if you look at the qualifying, they had a really tough qualifying group for this World Cup. I mean, they had Croatia, they had Turkey, they had the Netherlands, Ukraine, this and Kosovo. Nobody even knew what Kosovo was going to be, and they were pretty darn good. And they won the group. They didn't get in second place. They won the group over Croatia. So that tells me that they are right in saying, hey, we earned this. Nobody gave us anything. Nobody, we're not getting in on a playoff or a second round, anything like that. They earned it the right way. So, and that's kind of the way everybody feels. And believe it or not, everyone in Iceland I've talked to, and I've asked them all this question, how do you feel about playing Argentina and Lionel Messi and the whole gang as your very first World Cup match? And they're all like, well, you got to play the best to beat the best. That's their attitude.
And it's true. And just looking back on it, Jim, this team also, to your point, didn't go through the back door either to get in. 2-0 win over Ukraine, a 3-0 road victory in Turkey, And a 2-0 home victory against Kosovo to close it out. Winning your last three matches, I mean, you know, there's something to be said about that.
Absolutely. I mean, that qualifying effort was unbelievable. And if you look at the scores, they didn't give up goals coming down the stretch. No, I don't have the games in front of me, but I think it was four or five matches in a row they didn't give up a goal coming down the stretch.
One goal. Looking at it right now, like I said, 2-0 Kosovo was a shutout. 3-0 Turkey shutout. 2-0 Ukraine shutout. Before that, they lost 1-0 in Finland.
That's right.
And then the
that's
match right. before that, they beat Croatia 1-0. So this is a team that, and then before that, gave up a 1-2-1 in Kosovo, but that was the other goal that they had conceded in their last, what I believe is six games. So, you know, they only conceded seven goals the entire World Cup qualifying, second in the group. And they did spread the goals out a little bit. Gylfi Sigurdsson with four goals, Alfred Finnbogason with three goals in this one. What I want to ask you, and it kind of leads into the group that we're looking at now, so I'll let Rob take over in a second, but they're going to get Croatia twice. They obviously played Croatia home on home in the World Cup qualifying. Now they pull them in Group D again. Is there an advantage or a disadvantage to what they did in qualifying, and can they carry that over into the group for the World Cup?
I think it's advantage Iceland. Because Iceland comes at you with consistency, pressure, and mental toughness, right?
Yep.
So they don't make mistakes when the pressure's on. And they play very consistently, and they play team defense. So they're not going to give up any goals, right? And nobody's going to sneak a bunch of goals past them unless you're France or Germany or somebody, right? So Croatia can't score that many goals, I don't think, especially against Iceland. Mm-hmm. So what that tells me, it's going to come down to that mental angle and that mental toughness, that coaching, that sense of team, that is all advantage Iceland right there, man.
So looking at the group real quick, obviously many people want to put this as the group of death. They have Iceland will go into with Argentina in the first game on the 16th, followed by Nigeria on the 22nd, and then wrap it off with Croatia, the team that they played in the qualifiers, on the 26th. I'm going to ask Joe this real quick. Obviously, we talked to our correspondents for the shows for Argentina. We spoke to them as well for Croatia, and we spoke to this Nigeria. And, you know, it's a really tough group to call, but, you know, you kind of have to factor maybe Iceland as that second favorite, especially given the qualifiers that they've had and you know, and the familiar foes that they did with Croatia. It's going to be a challenge for them to take on Nigeria, but certainly they can really give Argentina a battle, considering also they're also a team that perhaps hasn't been able to find an identity in the recent games.
You know, I think this Icelandic team can draw from a couple of factors here. One, their performance in the Euros 2 years ago, where they finished eighth, I think is a benefit to them. As we talked about, they don't really have a World Cup history, and to an extent, I don't even think have a European Cup history, you know, much to speak of. This is a new age and a new undertaking for the country of Iceland. But they're a country that's coming into this with a fresh, good experience. I think there is something to be said for that. I think this team will say, hey, we've played big boys, you know, leading into this. So we know what to do. We know how to play. The second thing that Jim, you kind of alluded to a little bit, and I'd like you to answer Rob's question in a second, and something that I even considered as well, is you talked about the ability for the team to play team defense. We've seen it benefit many, many teams time and time again. You know, most recent example, Sweden in their win over Italy to qualify for this World Cup, shutting out Italy over 180 minutes. I mean, there's something to be said for that. And I think Iceland comes from the same cloth in terms of the fact that they play a great team game, and specifically on defense. I think that helps when you face the likes of Argentina or the likes of Croatia, and it's already proven to work for them for Croatia, that I think that it carries over, I mean, for them.
Yeah, you know, they play a standard 4-4-2, you know, and they play it straight, and they play it really, really well. And those midfielders, they work hard on defense. Mm-hmm. And so you just don't get around them, you know? They're not giving up those counterattacks. They're not giving up the, you know, the stupid pass into, you know, a breaking winger or anything. So it's like you're just not going to sneak one past them. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just not going to happen. And that makes such a big difference in an international match where you guys don't play together all year long, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the, you know, to me, that's part of the advantage of being such a small country is these guys have known each other, since, you know, since they were kids. You know, it's not like, you know, you've got a different, you know, group of kids around you all the time when you're coming up in a big country, right? A lot of these kids grew up together. So, you know, these guys have known each other for, you know, some of them 20 years. So, you know, it's been referred to as Iceland's golden generation and this and that. But hopefully it's just the beginning for them because I love their style of football and they build really smart players. These guys play smart football and it's fun to watch.
Now let's go back and look to the at the players to watch and something I wanted to go back to you on because you'd mentioned about the spring players, you know, the players that have been called up to this team. Let's talk about that for a little while, you know, and really a question that we're fond of asking in these pods is, you know, is there a young player that maybe we don't know about right now but will make a name for himself either through these spring prep games coming into the World Cup or even at the World Cup themselves? You know, has there somebody that you've kind of put your finger on and said, this is the guy to watch?
Well, you know, there's a couple of players, I think, you know, that played really well this spring that may break out during the World Cup. I mean, I think one of them is Birkir Bjarnason, who plays for Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. He did really well this spring. Johan Berg, who plays at Burnley, he's a great player as well. So probably, you know, I would say probably those two. Maybe Albert Gudmund. I always get this one wrong. Gudmundsson. So I'm so used to just using the first name because nobody uses the last name actually over in Iceland.
Okay.
So Albert is, you know, he's a player that's got huge potential. He's at PSV Eindhoven. So I think those are probably the three to watch coming in into this tournament. I think, you know, one player I mentioned the very first time I came on your guys' show has not shown his true potential, even though he's had a few shots at the World Cup, is Vidar Kjartansson. He may get a call up to this World Cup, but I doubt it. He just hasn't been able to pull the string on the number of goals needed, you know, at the international level. He's scoring well at Maccabi Tel Aviv, but, you know, every time he comes up to international, he just can't quite reach the level for some reason.
2 goals and 18 appearances for him on the national side. The one thing I wanted to point out, though, is, you know, with the limited experience on the big stage at the World Cup, at the Euros, they've only made the one Euro. This is their first World Cup. A lot of guys have quite a bit of experience on this side. Aaron Gunnarsson, the captain, 29 years old. He's already got 77 caps for this national team. Birkir Bjarnason at 29 years old, 65 caps. We talk about Gylfi Sigurdsson, he's got 55 caps at the moment. Everyone's familiar with him over at Everton. You know, there's actually, and young too, Sigurdsson's only 28 years old. You had mentioned Albert, who is at PSV. PSV also, who's qualified now for Champions League for next year. He's only 20 years old. So, I mean, there's a lot of youth on this team. Does that serve them well, especially some of these youth pieces, some of these 25 to 28-year-olds that that do have 40, 50 caps under their belt?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the perfect position, right? You want to have that mix of Aaron, who's the ultimate captain for a team, right? Aaron is like, he's a Viking god, right? Mm-hmm. And then Gylfi, who's like the perfect player, and but he's just so nice. He can't be a captain. He's too nice to be a captain. And then you mix it in with these young guys, you know, and they're learning from these real professionals like, you know, like Aaron and Gylfi. And you know, it's just a perfect blend. You know, I think they could keep this going. I expect them to be at this international level for a while.
So, of course, looking into the prediction side of one of the things, obviously it's going to be a tough group to call between Argentina, Iceland, Croatia, and Nigeria. But, Jim, I will ask you this, though. I will ask you this before I go to my next question. And just looking into this group real quick, obviously, you know, we see the potential that Argentina has always had with Lionel Messi and their star players. You know, we know what Croatia can give with their talented depth in the midfield and especially on attack. And, you know, Nigeria has been really considered one of the best teams in Africa and really doing so in such a really tough qualifiers like Africa. So for this Icelandic team, at least from an Icelandic point of view, which game do you think is probably the toughest or maybe the most important for this team?
I don't know that you can say any match is more important than any other match in this group, because this is the closest thing to a group of death. It really is. I mean, this is like, this is four heavyweights going at it. You know, this is the group to watch. If you love football, this is the group to watch. Because you're going to get, you know, the lovely, talented, amazing, you know, Argentinian style. You're going to get that amazing midfield play from the Croatians. You're going to get, you know, the high-flying stuff from the Nigerians. And then you're going to get this old-school, you know, keep it simple, don't give an inch from the Icelanders. And it's just going to be, okay, who's got the will to do it?
No, absolutely. And of course, I think many people are giving into that stereotype. This would probably be a straightforward group for Argentina. But really, I think this could be a group where, you know, many people, and we spoke about this with Joe as well when we were doing other shows, that really this group could really go either way. You know, we could see Croatia and Iceland go through and Argentina out or vice versa or Nigeria. And to be honest, we wouldn't be surprised.
I think it could easily come down to goal differential, right? I
mean, definitely.
You know, this we could see a series of draws and goal differential and, you know, something weird. I can't see Nigeria ruling this one. I just don't think they have the team to do it. I really can't see Argentina ruling it either, you know, on the other end. Because I think Iceland's going to punch them in the mouth and at least get, you know, a point out of them.
Yeah, that would be a really, really great point and a really great result for Iceland, and probably a terrible one for Argentina if they go into their first game and tie Iceland. That would be really bad to get on the right foot, to get on the wrong foot. So yeah, I completely agree. And just going into my next question as well, you know, many people perhaps haven't been familiar with Iceland since that Euro 2016 performance when they beat England, and maybe have watched a bit of the qualifiers, maybe a bit of the friendlies, but. You know, you talked about defense. You know, is that the one thing that we should really focus on, you know, to characterize this Icelandic team? And also, kind of a more broader question, you know, if you had to probably pick a starting 11 for this team, what is it?
Well, I don't know if I could list the starting 11. I don't have it in front of me. But, you know, the thing to look out for in this, it's not just about defense, right? The thing to look for when you watch Iceland is to watch the way they pass the ball. And the way they trap and the way they keep you from being able to pass the ball. And that's the biggest difference, right, is that they're going to play a game that says, okay, we're going to control the pace through controlling the ball, right? And so whether we're on offense or defense, we want to control the pace. And so that's what they try to do at every moment of the game. And so it's short passing, it's good skills, it's heads-up play, you know, it's all of that. It's not route one football, it's not, you know, wild swings, you know, from side to side. It's controlled, it's very, very, it's high energy. I don't want to say it's low energy, it's high energy, but it's very much, you know, that Iceland is going to have a player in position wherever the ball goes. Right. So if I was going to tell, like, a youth coach or somebody like that to watch one team to learn from, it would be Iceland, because I think they're the best coach team in the world. And I think, you know, and probably one of the biggest differences, speaking of that, is that Lars Lagerbäck, who's the Swedish guy who was coaching Iceland, is no longer coaching them. So he gave up his co-manager status or whatever it was. And Heimir Hallgrímsson is now fully on board, 100% the sole manager of Iceland. So it's completely Icelandic coaching now. There, you know, there's no more of that, you know, string to the Swedish guy anymore. It's 100% Icelandic.
You know, I think you brought up a great point just a few minutes ago. One of the things we talk about Iceland being so sound defensively, it's really what you just alluded to. They're tactically sound in their complete 11. So
yes,
and that's going to lend themselves, you know, to not get rattled if let's say Argentina scores an early goal to open the group, or Nigeria starts to run around them because they have such great team speed, or Croatia with their ability to manage. You know, we talked about this with Anthony Zoric when we did the Croatia podcast, that this Croatian side could be argued as being the best midfield in the entire tournament. But because Iceland is so tactically sound, it makes it difficult for to even the best midfields to break them down, where I think it lends to their ability to at least stay in every single match, even though this is the group of death.
Yeah, I mean, Croatia's never really broken Iceland down.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, look at those matches. Even if they lost, it was like 2-1 or something.
I think they split both matches in qualifying. So, and again, these are the two teams that finished in the top of their group. So, you know, that's not too bad. Not too bad to be on par and actually argumentatively better than Croatia, who is certainly one of the top, I would say, 10 teams in the, you know, possibly in the world. I'd have to look at the FIFA rankings right now, but easily one of the top 10 teams in this tournament. You know, so,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, it's so I'm still believing in Iceland at this point. You know, I think they're going to take at least the number two spot in this group. I really do.
Okay. Now, all right. Well, that leads me to my next question to kind of close it out. What is a reasonable expectation for this Icelandic team, given that they're facing these huge teams in this group of death? What's reasonable to expect for them to, you know, in this tournament?
Well, I think the first reasonable expectation is to know that they're going to be in every match, that they're not going to be cowed by some giant football factory like Argentina. They're going to walk on the pitch and look Argentina straight in the eye, and they're not going to be scared, right? It's going to be a good game. I expect a good, tight game with Argentina.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I think that's, you know, I think that's going to be the big shock to a lot of people. I think a lot of people are going to look at that match and go, oh, geez, I'm not going to watch that. Argentina's going to kill them. And I don't think that's the case at all.
I think that's furthest from the truth.
Yeah, because I think Argentina's a mess, for one thing.
Well, that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
But
and Argentina is not, you know, Argentina's going to need a match or two to get their act together. And they don't want to see a team like Iceland who is ready to go. They were ready to go, man. They've been ready to go.
So this is really in terms of, you know, leading to expectations, this is probably the best this group could have broken for Iceland, meaning that if we feel that Argentina is going to take a match or two to really get their feet under them, that best to get them while they're cold, and Iceland's
absolutely
got them first. Yeah, so this is breaking the best way possible for Iceland, given that they're in the group of death.
I believe so. Okay. I believe that to be true. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing is you know, who's healthy, right? Because Gylfi's had some injuries, and he's the only big player that's had injuries lately. But you know, he should be healthy for the tournament, but. But that's the other thing about Iceland is they don't worry about that stuff.
Right, right.
So they're like, okay, one man goes down, you go in, let's go.
And they're all because of their ability to maintain their tactical awareness and their, you know, to play that. I don't want to call it ABC style soccer because it's too, that phrase is too rudimentary for them. They're just tactically sound. You're able to plug a guy in when somebody gets hurt, and I think it's a big benefit to them.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, you know, I mean, we could spend hours on it, but part of it is the fact that they have put together a true national program, mm-hmm. right? And so when you are 4 years old, you're doing the same things as a four-year-old all the way on the other side of the country.
Right.
And it's being taught to you by an A-licensed UEFA coach, mm-hmm. right? And so they don't have parents teaching these kids, right? I mean, some of them may be parents, but they're also A-licensed coaches.
Right. It's a big difference.
You know, it's a huge difference. The whole culture of football in Iceland is very different than what you would see in the United States or even England, right?
Right.
So, you know, they're preparing them for a style of football that Iceland plays.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, because this is how we usually close out these pods. in the dream of all dreams, a team like Iceland runs their way to the World Cup final, wins this trophy, what would it mean to the people and especially the players and the coaches of this tiny nation to raise the World Cup trophy?
Oh, my God. I mean, that's way beyond, I think, because, the you know, Icelandic people tend not to think that way, really, honestly.
Right.
I think it would shock them more than anything.
Okay.
It would certainly, I really do.
It would certainly heat up the country, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. I think we'd see a volcano blow.
No, that's possible. And it won't and it won't come from the volcano itself. It'll actually just come from the city. So that'll be funny. But it would be something to certainly behold. And it would be a credit to a federation that really took teaching its kids to heart, because this is this is the end product.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely, and it's something that, you know, this didn't take 2 years or 5 years. It took 25 years,
right,
of, you know, really re-examining a lot of, you know, trying things, looking at what other countries do, doing a lot of research, mm-hmm. And then getting the right people in position to execute on a plan. And these guys have really done it, you know, and they've not worried about results. They just haven't.
No, they haven't at all. So, gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight and help me break down Iceland as they make the journey to Russia to the 2018 World Cup. So, again, for This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network, I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.